taking a look at fall paddling and prepping our boats and canoes and kayaks for winter, maybe our paddles too. Our guest today, Darren Bush. Darren is chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. It's always great to have him along. You may have a question. How do your fall plans include some paddling? Where do you plan to go? Some good experiences that you can share with us about your adventures. What about where you store your gear for winter? Any tips to share there? Maybe if you'd like to paddle but haven't, what's stopping you? How can Darren help? Give us a call. 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Darren, great to see you again.
Great to be here.
And I'm seeing on your Facebook page lots of really good pictures of you in your kayak, I think, for the most part.
Eh, depends.
Yeah, it depends a little bit, but you're still having a lot of fun.
Yeah, this has been probably the best fall for paddling in as many years as I can remember, just because the leaves are staying on the trees because they don't have those windstorms and rain that just rip them off. So we've had good color. The temperatures have been pretty moderate. Had a great paddle last week at the confluence of the Mississippi and Wisconsin down by Wyalusing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. You come down the river and you look across and there's this big, beautiful bluff. And I tell people, you know, that's Iowa.
Yeah.
And they go, really? It's like, yeah, Iowa. Okay.
Iowa has some hills, too.
Iowa is gorgeous. You know, it's just people don't know what they don't know.
Well, you're having definitely fun. It's getting a little chilly, but still plenty of time for paddling.
Yeah, absolutely. You just dress for conditions. That's pretty much true. I mean, we live in a state that has the blessing, I think, of four seasons. And they're all different, and they all require a little bit of approach to how to enjoy the outdoors. But the fall's no different. The water's still fairly warm. It's the air that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you dress for immersion anyway. I wear a lot of wool because, you know, if you go in, wool still insulates you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stay off of places where you might take a swim. If your skill level isn't there, don't go places you might not normally go. But there's still places to paddle that are wonderful and safe as long as you're properly prepared.
Where are some good spots around Wisconsin to paddle in the fall?
Oh, jeez.
So many, huh?
How long do we have, Larry?
Yeah.
I like everywhere, anywhere it's wet. I mean, this morning, the Lake Mendota was flat. It was absolutely beautiful with a little bit of a mist on it. I like the lower Wisconsin still. The Namekagon's beautiful in the fall. All the northern scenic rivers are beautiful. Lake Superior's, actually, Lake Superior is a great place to sea kayak, you know, all the time. But, you know, in October, the water temperature and the air temperature are pretty close to each other, so you can dress for immersion and not bake. You know, wearing a dry suit and, you know, those bags they put turkeys in and then put them in the oven. And they
kind of,
that's what's like wearing a dry suit in June. You're one of those turkeys, and you just kind of melt. So, but when the air's cool and the water's cool, it's really nice.
And how late in the year can we reasonably expect to paddle?
It depends on your preparation. It depends on your skill level. I don't stop. I mean, I just keep going. As long as the water is wet, I'll keep paddling. Just take a different boat or wear a dry suit or whatever. But there's still paddling out there to be had for the next, you know, I'd say 2 or 3 weeks at least for mortals anyway.
I mean. Bob in Elkhart Lake has a question. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I've been looking at and trying to purchase something, a kayak, but I'm 300-pound, 60-year-old guy, and everything seems to be in the 200 areas. What would you be a suggestion as a recreational type thing?
Oh, there's plenty of boats for guys your size.
There is.
You're looking for a kayak?
I would
think so.
Yeah, okay. There's a couple of boats I'd look at. One is Native Watercraft makes a boat called the Ultimate, and there's a 12-footer, and there's a 14.5-footer, and there's a 16-footer. They make a solo version of the 14.5. There's a solo and a tandem version. That thing has plenty capacity. There's several. There's a company from Tennessee. Jackson Kayak has a boat called the Cuda that would carry your weight pretty easily. I got a half a dozen. That I could put you in, no problem.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're located where?
We're in Madison.
Okay.
And you can go online, go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I've got a link to Rutabaga Paddle Sports, or just
Rutabaga.com.
Rutabaga.com. There it is.
You can also call me. That works
too.
Sure. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. Let's talk a little bit about our canoes, our kayaks, and our paddles in terms of maintenance and maybe what we should do before we store them for winter, cleaning them, for putting them away.
Well, first of all, you make a good point. It's really good to put everything away in good repair.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you forget, you pull it out in the spring and go, oh, wait, I forgot, I didn't patch that or whatever. So, yeah. Clean's good. Get the sand and the grit out. If you use whatever kind of cleaner you use, I like to use the more biodegradable stuff like Simple Green that works really well on boats. You know, and if you've got a composite boat, you know, fiberglass or Kevlar or whatever, a light coat of, UV inhibitor wax on the outside works. Just, you know, whatever you'd use for your car, that works fine. If you've got polyethylene or Royal X boats, anything with a vinyl, then you can use it's called UV Tech, and it's like Armorall, but it's not petroleum based, so it's much better for the environment. Spray that, clean that off. If you've got wood on your gunnels or other parts that need to be replaced, it's a good time to do it. Just look over the things and shake them. If they rattle, tighten them down. If they break, then replace them. But and paddles, same thing. You know, look at all your paddles. Make sure that that they're where you want them to be. That the bottoms aren't too chewed up. You can sand them and varnish them if they're wood. I mean, there's just this is the fun stuff. You get to putz with your gear. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned checking for damage.
Right.
Typically, there's maybe some nicks or scratches, or hopefully no holes.
But... yeah, I mean, you're gonna nick and scratch anything you use. Hopefully, that means you're using it. So, but if there's any perforations, obviously you want to get those fixed. But you'd know about those pretty immediately, I think.
Yeah,
it's usually there's an indicator. It's called water coming in from the out part. So I just say, take a look at it. The things that need to be repaired. YouTube's a great place. Type in canoe skid plate or canoe hole repair or aluminum canoe repair, and there's all sorts of videos out there. Most of them are pretty good, so use your common sense. If they tell you to do dumb things, don't do them.
What about storage? Where do you store?
Well, I have this advantage.
I have a slight advantage.
I have 2 7,000 square foot warehouses, and one of them in the very back, I built a little little den. It's Darren's spot, and that's where I put my boats in the winter, except for the I keep about a half a dozen in my garage for immediate use. So, in the garage is where most people should put them. There's space there usually up on the top. You can hang things.
Rafters or whatever.
Right. You can hang them. Outside's okay if you cover them up, usually with Tyvek or something like that. The thing that ruins a lot of boats, and people don't realize this, is they'll put a boat on sawhorses upside down, like especially a canoe, near the eave of a house, and they'll get snow loading. And, snow doesn't weigh that much unless it's wet and heavy, and then it weighs a lot. And I've seen boats crushed from the snow sliding off of a roof. So, pay attention to where you put it.
Oh, yeah. And, you wonder or worry a little bit, do you worry at all about temperature fluctuations? Most garages are cold. And...
yeah. There's only one case where that's really a problem, and that's a material called Royal X. And Royal X is it's an ABS plastic with a vinyl skin on it. And if you use wood gunnels on an ABS boat, the wood and the plastic expand and contract at different rates. So if you get a cold up or cold heat rises or get chills quickly, then you can get what's called cold cracks. And they're just little tiny cracks that emanate from the holes where the screws go through the gunnels. If you back your gunnels off, the first 4 or 5 screws on each side, just back them off so they're loose. That takes care of the problem. But that's fairly rare. For most part, they're fine outside. Just leave them.
Yeah.
They can be cold.
Cover them up, yeah.
Yep.
We had a Facebook question from Britt. My 71-year-old dad just bought his first kayak. I'd like to join him with my 10-year-old daughter. He kayaks the Mississippi River near Cassville, Potosi. Since we would be beginners, would it be better for me to get a double for me and my daughter or two singles?
Oh, wonderful question. And the key is 10 years old.
Yeah.
So if you said six or five, maybe seven, I'd say, you know, probably get a tandem, probably get a double. However, 10 is right on the cusp of you know, becoming a competent paddler on her own, in her own right. My daughter started paddling a kayak when she was four. So that's weird. I know that. But
yeah.
but you know, with a little tow rig, you know, if they get tired, you just clip in and just pull them. So I would say definitely go two. It's probably going to be about the same price, maybe a little bit more for two than a tandem. But yeah, you give a 10-year-old some independence, and you'll be surprised what they can do.
Yeah, our daughter's 10, and she likes to go out. I mean, I sometimes like to have her in the kayak with me, but
sure.
it's also fun to have separate kayaks and be out there together and side by side, since you're not looking at the back of your head.
Yeah, and you've heard me say this before. Paddling solo craft, whether it's a canoe or kayak, is a much more intimate experience than paddling in a tandem, because you're next to each other, not in front and back, and you can have a conversation. You can hand things back and forth. So, it's a much better situation.
And for her... two logo? Can you put two on a car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Depends on the rack system. You can put. I mean, I think the record I've ever had on my car is eight.
Oh.
And that was on the Autobahn in Germany. Whitewater boats all scrunched down, going 140 kilometers an hour. It was misspent youth. Anyway, you can get a lot of boats on a car if you have the rubber rack system. And you know, if you're going to paddle, you need to know how to carry your boat. And two to four is not that big of a deal.
And for her, she's new at it, and she's going to be purchasing. She's got a 10-year-old, so, and I don't know how strong she is, but what do you think?
Well, strong enough. I mean, you have to move your own weight.
Yeah.
So if people are smaller, that's fine, because they weigh less and they're easier. They can move their own weight just fine. It's more about the size of the boat.
Yeah.
You know, a big kayak with a little kid, it's kind of like, you know, you take a mountain bike and you lower the seat all the way and say, deal. It doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work. So you need to get them appropriately sized gear. There are boats that are good for 10 to 13, 10 to 14. You know, it depends how much they grow. But the nice thing about those is they don't cost that much and they retain their value. So, you know, the boat I bought for my daughter, I think, has been through five or six families. Just, they don't wear out.
They don't wear out. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Darren Bush never wears out either, I don't think. And he's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. Darren, the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. I hope you'll join in with your questions. We'll have news and then we'll be right back with Darren. Wisconsin lakes and rivers are a real treasure. If you enjoy seeing the sights from water level, it's a wonderful experience. Great way to enjoy our Wisconsin natural areas. And being in a kayak or canoe really makes you feel more like you're part of the environment instead of sort of just a visitor. Larry Mueller here. Great to have Darren Bush with us. He comes by a few times a year to share his love of paddling and his knowledge about how to make it safe and enjoyable for all of us. He's the owner and chief paddling evangelist for Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Darren, always great to have you with us. Thank
always
you so much.
Wonderful to be here.
Really appreciate you being here. You may have some questions for Darren as you listen in here. Do you have some fall plans for paddling? Where and when do you want to go? Do you have an experience to share? Or maybe you've got a question about gear or storage? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And speaking of Facebook, we had a Facebook comment from Frankie who said, last year I bought kayak lessons from Rutabaga for my 9-year-old granddaughter for her Christmas present. And they were absolutely marvelous. She gained a lot of confidence in herself in the water, which served her well when she was on a summer family canoe trip. Her canoe tipped over and she had to hang on to a tree branch until she could be rescued. The wet exit lesson was that she got at Rutabaga was most helpful.
Cool.
that's pretty nice.
You know, teaching kids is it's one of our many passions. We love it. It's teaching adults is great. You know, especially energetic adults mm-hmm. who are all excited about learning something new. But you know, you're teaching a kid how to do something. It's just like it's almost embarrassing. It's like, how can you do that like really easy? It took me like 20 years to learn. But it's wonderful.
And a Facebook question from Jonathan, who says, just moved to Madison. I'm looking for some Class 2 Rapids within driving distance. Any suggestions for the next month or so? How about after the snowmelt in spring?
Driving distance. Well, you know, West Virginia is a driving distance. It just didn't say how far. Class 2 within, let's say, a couple
what
hours.
What is a Class 2 Rapids?
Okay, good question. Okay, so rapids are ranked from basically Class 1 to Class 5. Class 1 is moving water, so down by the mm-hmm. Sauk Prairie Dam,
okay.
You know, stuff like that. Class 2 is a little bit bigger. Class 3 is kind of the stuff you see like on the Flambeau or mm-hmm. the Dan McCaughan. You know, a little bit more, some drops, you know, not just moving water, but little drops. And then 4 and 5 are sort of your big water. 5 is like, you know, some of your Grand Canyon rapids, you know, the big stuff.
Yeah.
There is a class 6 that is unrunnable until somebody runs it, and then it's class 5. So, but it's pretty hardcore. The biggest rapids we have here in Wisconsin are 3s and 4s up on the Wolf River. 3s on the Peshtigo, you know, 2s and 3s on the Flambeau. So within, you know, a couple hours of here, the closest thing is probably up the Black River near Neillsville.
Yeah.
Has some...
It's a couple hours.
Yeah, it's a couple hours. That's not too bad. But as far as snowmelt, I would go up north and go creeking. That's mm-hmm. the good stuff. Upper Peninsula and the Superior Lakes like the Montreal and such. The other thing is drive south, towards the Ozarks. There's some really nice paddling down there. In fact, right now is, you know, perfect. It's 70 degrees today, you know, down in the Ozarks and all those beautiful rivers like the Current and the Jack's Forks. And, you know, you're an hour or so the other side of St. Louis. And, it's pretty, pretty slow right now down there. There's not a whole lot of traffic. So you get the rivers to yourself.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like fun. Any other place? Well, let's talk some more about places near and far. Grant?
Ooh, the Grant, yeah. The Grant, what that brought that up is the woman who wrote in about paddling near Potosi.
Yeah.
Potosi is the mouth of the Grant River where it runs into the Mississippi. And the Grant's one of my favorites. It's the Kickapoo that nobody knows about. Mm. You know, it's a nice little river. It's got some pretty bluffs. It's just intimate. And easy to get in and out of, good shuttles. You know, twisty rivers and straight roads are really good because, I mean, you can mm-hmm. paddle 6 miles and drive 2. But it's just a lovely little river. The Sugars just south of here is really nice. The upper stretches are usually more blocked up because the liveries don't trim things out. But as you go towards the Illinois border, it gets more and more passable. Lake Wingra is the fastest way out of Madison. You know, it's surrounded by the Arboretum. You get out there on a nice evening, and you could swear you were, you know,
in the middle of nowhere.
So, yeah, I'm a big advocate of paddling local, just because when you think about if you've got beautiful places right here, why drive a long way? And you know, I have friends that go paddling once a year in the Boundary Waters for a week. It's like, you know, that's kind of like not eating for a year and then gorging yourself for a week. I like to snack, right? So I'll snack at this river and I'll snack at that river. So, yeah, paddle local. There's wonderful rivers around here.
And as you say, there we got a Wingra, right, for our Facebook person is in Madison. Get that kayak out on the little lake there, and it really is pretty out of that water.
Yeah, and you go out, you know, this time of year, again, the water is still, you know, it's in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So is the air, but what's really cool is when the water's warm and the air drops quick, you get this beautiful fog. And, you know, paddling through that is just, well, here I go.
But, you know, and we're still in southern Wisconsin, at least in the Madison area, we've still got great color.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's. You want to get out. All right, it's not a class 2, but.
It's a class 0, but so what?
Yeah. So what?
Yeah, you know, if you want to see what the colors looked like last weekend, if they go to my Facebook page, which is Facebook/canoe lover, Mm-hmm. There's a little album down a couple clicks of our staff retreat, which is what we were doing down there. We close our shop for a couple days and go paddling. And there's that bluff of Iowa. It's just
gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Yep.
Well, Joe and Harper, speaking of Iowa, there's
hey,
Joe
Iowa.
And Harper Ferry, Iowa. Up. Joe, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I lived in Florida for a long time, and we're up here for the folks. We're moving back. I'm going to get into paddling. I'd like my question about stability, because we canoed a lot down there, Crystal, Chesawiska, and so on. We were on the Oklawaha one day, and we always like to go down early, be the first boat, because you see all the wildlife.
Right.
And I have a Labrador. My wife has a Spaniel. We always let the dog swim with us, and he'd always swim right next to the boat, and it was stroke, stroke, sit, stroke, stroke, sit, if he was in the boat.
Yeah.
And then a gator popped up about 10 feet.
I was going to ask.
And I didn't realize I was that strong, but I grabbed the dog by the collar and just lifted him in the boat. And my question about stability, we always used to basically, everybody rented like 17-foot Grumman's with a pretty pronounced keel.
Yep.
What are your suggestions for stability in this sort of thing?
Well, stability, go ahead.
I would snorkel out of the back, too. I'd jump off the back and snorkel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was easy, but side-to-side work and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Not any apparatus, but just a boat with a good broad, you know, a beam and a proper keel.
Well, first of all, the keel doesn't really change the stability of the boat. That's more for the directional stability, not for the for the tippiness of it. It doesn't make that big of a difference. The biggest factor in whether a boat's stable or not is its width. I mean, the beam of a boat determines how stable it is, everything else being equal. So the problem is when you get to a boat that's really wide, you can't reach the water, and then, you know, it's kind of a moot point. So there's a balance in there. You might consider looking at a sit-on-top kayak because they make them now. There's one from Native Watercraft called the Slayer, I think it's called. That's kind of a big, wide kayak, but it's got kind of a platform on it because as kayak fishing becomes more popular, people want that space. And I've seen people put dogs on the front of those, and they're very, very stable.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for calling, Joe. You can join in, too. Open lines will get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. And certainly you can also post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show or email us at talk@WPR.org. I wanted to bring something up. It's kind of a personal thing for me, something that I've had to deal with this fall, which I never expected I would have to deal with, and that's the death of a good friend in a boat who fell out of his boat and was not wearing a
PFD.
A PFD, yeah. And somebody I fished with for 30 years. So it was a very hard thing for me to I wasn't with him at the time, but it's you know, I don't think I'll ever get out in a boat again without having one on, but
it won't.
It's a little late for that for him. And yep. I talk a little about PFDs. There are some PFDs out there that are very comfortable.
Yeah.
That are almost, they're just like a jacket. You don't even hardly know that you're wearing one.
I once went to I went paddling on Wingra. And I went over and I stopped at the grocery store on the way home and over at Metcalf's. And I'm standing there in line and I realize that I'm wearing my PFD. I looked like a complete idiot. So, I can't say enough about this. The numbers from the Coast Guard and from the American Canoe Association are very compelling. People generally don't die wearing PFDs.
No.
They just don't. I mean, yes, of course, but when people die in drownings related to watercraft, there's always either alcohol, no PFD, or both.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that are the risk factors. If you wear your PFD, your chances of surviving any sort of immersion are, you know, incredibly, incredibly high. And everybody thinks, I'm a good swimmer. I can do this. I can do that. I'm a good swimmer. I grew up, you know, swimming in surf, so I'm a strong swimmer. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. I wear it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, he happened to have his own, they have their own swimming pool, so he's a good swimmer and still.
Right. No, it doesn't matter. You go over and, you know, you hit your head on a log, or you just, you never know what can happen. You never know.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, and PFD, of course, stands for personal flotation device.
Yeah, you can say life jacket, too.
Yeah, life jacket.
Yeah, that's fine.
And there are some now, I mean, they come, you can pay $400 for one, and that'll...
You can?
Yeah, you can. You can pay up to $400,
I've never seen one that costs that much.
Well, that'll inflate upon, there's some that are around $200, too.
Yeah.
That'll inflate upon...
Hitting the water, yeah.
Hitting the water.
Well, the inflatable kinds are actually really nice, because they don't insulate, so if you wear them in the summer, you don't get hot. Most of the kind we suggest have a pull tab. So if you go and you pull it, if you get the kind that automatically inflate when you hit water, and you're in a kayak, bad things can happen.
Okay. Understood. But the kind where you can just pull a ripcord, so to speak.
They're under $200.
Yeah, absolutely. Clinton in Wauwatosa, thank you for calling. Appreciate your call.
Well, thank you for taking the call and hearing my story. And I have a question about the rating of this location in Wisconsin. Way back in the 80s, my wife and myself and my sister and her husband, we went to this place, I think it's on the Menominee, called Pierce Gorge, way up by Iron Mountain.
Sure.
And six people in a raft, as I recall, we hit a wave and it smacked me in the face and smashed my sunglasses off. The second wave picked the entire raft up and flipped us upside down. By the time I popped up, I looked back, and this is kind of shameful but funny. I popped up, and my wife's maybe like 300 yards behind me, and my only thought was, did we pay for her life insurance?
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't say that out loud.
We joke about that. First and last time rafting, I was wondering, what's the rating on that place?
That depends on the water levels. It's definitely four-ish. You know, mm-hmm. It could be higher in the spring. But, yeah, that's a considerable rapid.
It was a late spring, early spring.
Yeah, it was probably pushing five.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We have a Facebook question from Megan, who has an 8-month-old baby girl. Do you have any advice, Darren, for canoeing with little ones? How will I know when she's old enough to take her out on the water?
She's old enough now.
Huh?
Yeah, she's old enough now. My kids never remember not paddling, so for them it's totally normal. You just have to treat it, you have to treat them differently. So what I do is make sure when my kids were that age, I put them in a life jacket that was, you know, designed for infants. And they have them, they're very small. And they're not that expensive, and like every other piece of equipment for kids, you can pass it along 8 or 10 times. What I did is I put my kids in a car seat, but didn't strap it in. I just put the car seat in the bottom of the boat. As they got old enough to hold themselves up and sit by themselves, then they would just sit in the bottom of the boat, you know, and until two or three, they crawl around a little bit, and that's fine. But a boat's kind of a floating playpen. You know, they're contained. It's one of the best places to camp with a kid because you know exactly where they're going to be. That's fine. And then, you know, the kids' swim lessons, toddler swim lessons are great. Get them, you know, accustomed to the water. But, you know, I remember my son when he was about three, he was getting kind of a pain. And I said, you want to go swimming? And he said, yeah. And I put him over the side and I tied a rope on the top of his PFD and just kind of dragged him behind the canoe for a little bit. And he floated on his back and thought that was the coolest thing in the world. He's 20 and 6'3 now, so I don't do that anymore. You can take kids out as soon as they can. You just have to limit the time. And Darren's rule is 15 minutes per year. So an 8-year-old can go out for about 2 hours before they get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So that works pretty well.
Facebook question from Nicholas for someone who's just getting started in kayaking, maybe interested in getting used equipment. Where's the best place to go to get used equipment?
Best place to go and use equipment is wherever you can find it. The cautionary tale is, and what I would rather someone do is come see me, tell me what you want. Mm-hmm. If I have something that works, great. If I don't, I'll tell you, and I'll tell you what you should be looking for. Because the problem is, you look for the right boat, and then look for the deal. If you just look for the deal, you get the wrong stuff. So, but I don't have any problem telling people, you know, what we have doesn't work for you, or it's too expensive, or you need to wait. But this is the kind of thing you're looking for. And at that point, you know, used Craigslist or, you know, paddling.net or any of those places. But you got to be careful not to get what doesn't work. Otherwise, you know, take the couple hundred bucks and staple it to the side of your garage, and you can look at it when you walk by and instead of the boat you don't use. Then you can get the $200 when you need it. So, yeah, I mean,
that's great advice. So, figure out what you need.
Get the craft first, right? And again, if someone gets on the water, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy.
We have a Facebook question from Connie. My husband and I are 68 years old and have been kayaking for Wisconsin lakes for 6 years. We're hesitant to kayak the rivers because of currents and getting back to where we started.
Ooh.
We'd like to, though. What are your ideas?
Shuttling. That's the idea. So I don't like paddling upstream either. You know, I'm not a Calvinist. I think I should be able to enjoy going downstream and not have to go upstream again. That's great. So what I tell the people is, you know, spot a car, get a ride. There's lots of ways. So what I do often, if I'm alone, is I'll drop my boat off at the top. I'll drive my car to the back. I'll ride my bike back to my boat. Mm-hmm. I'll float down to my car, and I'll pick my bike up on the way home. When I paddle the Sugar River, there's a nice highway that goes up and down there. I'll just hold a paddle in a life jacket and stick my thumb out, and I'll have a ride in 2 minutes because they know I am there. You know, I've got a paddle. Oh, he's obviously on the river. I'll pick him up. And people in Wisconsin are really nice. They pick up hitchhikers. If you carry a paddle, and my wife's not listening, so I never hitchhike. But no, they're really nice. So, but finding someone to drop you off, a lot of outfitters will take you and drop you off for a small fee. They'll spot your car for you. So yeah, you can find places. You can, you know, ask friends, recruit people, but don't not paddle a river because you can't find a way to get back up.
Dwayne in Wausau, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Great topic. Being an Eagle Scout, we had a, you know, get canoeing merit badge when we were kids, and we'd take the canoe out in the lake, and you'd swamp it and fill it up with water, and then you and your buddy would flip it and get up in, you know, lift it and get up in the air pocket and then swing it over and get back in, and you're on your way. But my wife took up kayaking a couple years ago and loves it. She canoes on the Eau Claire River, or kayaks on the Eau Claire and the Rib River. And what would happen if she was in deep water and it tipped and filled up? How can she right that and get back in? Or can you, I told her to make sure she knows how to do that before she ever, you know, goes out in the main lake and is out deep, you know. And someone mentioned Harper's Ferry, Iowa, and I'm from Dubuque, used to live in Dubuque, and it's the most beautiful part of Iowa, you know.
Yep.
It's awesome up there.
What I'd say is it depends on the boat. Okay, so some boats some kayaks have bulkheads in them, which is behind the seat and in front of your feet, which separates the rest of the boat from the water. So if you tip the boat over, the cockpit will fill up, but the ends won't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, filling up, emptying a boat that's completely full of water, like a 10 or 12 footer that's got no bulkheads in it, is not going to happen. So you really need to look at flotation. Any boat that doesn't have bulkheads needs flotation in it. For most people, For most people, I would say your solution is to grab the boat and side stroke towards the shore. You know, doing a rescue in most boats that aren't sea kayaks is pretty difficult to do. It's not something that I would rely on. It's a much longer conversation than we have time for.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Thanks a lot for calling, Dwayne. And we have Heather had commented, just took up kayaking this spring. She says, a PFD saved my life on Memorial Day weekend when I dumped my kayak in the Chippewa Flowage near Hayward. Scared the heck out of me. I did manage to hang onto my kayak and paddle until I was able to get to shore.
Yep. Good.
Had the PFD on, and that's what she needed. Any comment on appropriate clothing and stuff? You guys carry clothing at your place.
Pretty much everything. If you want to go to Mexico, you need a pair of flip flops and a bathing suit. But anywhere else, you need something to protect you. And that's a whole other discussion we could have. But I mean, people can call me, and I can talk them through it. There's all sorts of different ways to do it.
And Darren, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. And actually, you can go online, too. They're going to find out a lot at Rutabaga.com.
Yeah, just go to Rutabaga.com. You can find my email. It's just DarrenB@Rutabaga. And email me, and I'll answer your questions if you didn't have time today.
Always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your next visit, Darren. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Darren Bush, by the way, think about Canucopia, March 7th through the 9th in 2014.
Oh,
so
gosh.
That's coming. Oh, my gosh, it's coming. Oh, that is always a lot of fun. Tomorrow we'll talk about, what are we talking about? Dan McNichol. He's touring the country in a 1949 Hudson. He's going to tell us all about that. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.